All right. Thank you, brother. How about Miss Rita over there on the piano tonight, huh? And Miss Karen, they did a wonderful job. We thank the Lord for them. Brother Tony's backslid tonight. He's off vacation in somewhere, so him and Candy's out of town. I think they went to Stone Mountain. Is that correct? Candy has something going on with work up there. And so Brother Tony's very faithful to be here. He's hardly ever gone. He said, preacher, I'm going to be gone on Wednesday night. And so don't tell him I said he backslid, all right? But he's out enjoying himself tonight. How many's ever been to the chiropractor before? Raise your hand. All right, I went today. I've never been, and I want you to know, when he cracked my back, it sounded like he stepped on a bag of potato chips. I mean, it was, wow. You know, that's the first time I've ever been there, and I know Dr. Prey, and I gave his son some guitar lessons and went down there, and when I walked in, he seen me coming in, he just grinned at me, you know, because I used to tell him that his place is the devil's lair. and so I'd always tease him a little bit. When I walked in there, he just grinned real big. He said, okay, here we go. So anyhow, very interesting. If you've never been to a chiropractor, it's an interesting experience. But anyhow, also, we said goodbye to one of our missionaries yesterday. The Todd Flanagan family got on a plane and went to Cambodia. They got there this morning. It was a 21-hour flight. And I've already heard from them. They're there, and they're getting their stuff in their house, and so they're excited about it. Todd's been working on this for 5 years, and he was went down to Atlanta yesterday with them, said goodbye. And let me tell you this: you know, you really need to pray for your missionaries. You know, they leave a lot behind. One of the hardest things I ever went through was yesterday watching them say goodbye to their parents. And watching Robin's mom and dad cry, and watching Todd's parents cry, and saying goodbye to them. It was very, very, very difficult. So there's a lot of sacrifice on the part of our missionaries. So please keep them in your prayers, all of them, that God will bless them and encourage them while they're there, that they're doing God's will. And I believe the Lord will help them through your prayers. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter number 18, we're going to read just 4 verses, and I'll let you be seated. I don't want you to stand too long there. But Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, very, very familiar passage of Scripture we're going to look at tonight. And basically, we've been talking about over the past several weeks, we've been talking about pushing back the darkness. And we've been talking about the darkness as sin in our life, and how we can push back that darkness, push back the sin. The Bible tells us that men love darkness rather than light. And I said that there's a Darth Vader inside every person that is here tonight. Some folks cross over to the dark side, some never come back. They stay there permanently. Well, there's a dark side to all of us, and it lurks on the inside of that fallen nature that we have. We can either yield to it or we can yield to God. And so the Bible teaches us how we can push back that darkness. Tonight, I want to use an Old Testament story to illustrate a great New Testament truth, and that is that we have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about that tonight through Jeremiah chapter 18 as we look at the familiar Bible story of the potter and the clay. Jeremiah 18, verse 1. The Bible says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." I'm going to read those 4 verses right there, and you can be seated, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we talk tonight about pushing back the darkness. That there may be some here in this room that you have sin in your life. There's been some things that have happened to you, and your life is just turned all upside down. I want you to know there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you listen well. God can use you, and God can bless you again if you let him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for salvation and for this time of Bible study tonight. And I pray, God, that you would help us to learn the important lessons as illustrated out here by the life of Jeremiah. I pray, God, that you bless our church. Help us, Lord, to do your will, and we'll thank you for what you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. As I said, if you're visiting with us for the very first time, And we've been studying this subject, pushing back the darkness in our lives and how we can stay away from sin and stay close to God. And really, no other prophet in the Old Testament illustrates that truth better than Jeremiah. If you were to do a study of Jeremiah, you would find out very quickly God put Jeremiah in some very unique situations. There was a time that God told Jeremiah to go put on a girdle. And he was to wear that girdle on the outside of his garments, and he wasn't to take it off or to wash it. And so here went old crazy Jeremiah walking around town with a girdle on the outside, and he couldn't take it off. Well, that thing's getting smelly and dirty, and it's getting ratted out and torn, and here comes that crazy preacher that has a girdle on the outside of his garments, and everybody's probably making fun of old Jeremiah. God said, Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the river Euphrates, and I want you to take that girdle off, and I want you to bury it underneath a rock down there. Well, Jeremiah took off. He went to the river Euphrates, took the girdle off, and buried it underneath the rock, and came all the way back home, several hundred miles away. Well, the Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah again. So, Jeremiah, I want you to go down there, and I want you to get that girdle. He goes back down, and he retrieves the girdle, and he picks it up, and he basically says, Lord, it's marred, and it's profitable for nothing. And God used an illustration to Jeremiah that day to say how that girdle cleaved to your loins, so I want to be close to my people. But my people have gotten sin in their life. They're marred and they're profitable for nothing. Well, God comes in chapter number 18 and has another illustration for Jeremiah to illustrate the truth that God wants to be close to his people. That God wants to be intimately involved in everybody's life who's saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah chapter 18 is the story of the potter's house. And I like to think that the potter's house is located on New Hope Road. That when you go and you find the potter's house, you'll find that it's located on New Hope Road. That is, for every person that is here, God can extend hope to you. You will find hope in the potter's house. And God illustrates this to the prophet Jeremiah. Now, excuse me, I want you to understand that the story that's before us really has three different parts or characters to it. The Bible will talk about the potter and the clay and the wheel. Now, the potter is going to represent God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the potter. He's the one that's molding and shaping and helping us. The clay, of course, represents us. But the wheel in the story could basically represent the wheel of life. As things spin and as we go through the motions in life, God's hand is always on us as clay, and he's molding us and he's shaping us and he's helping us. But what you need to understand is the emphasis of the story is not on the clay. The emphasis of the story is not on the wheel. The emphasis or the main character of the story is the potter, because it's the potter that makes the clay beautiful. It's the potter that gives the clay form and fashion. Can I tell you tonight that it's not your baptism that makes you beautiful? It's not your church membership that makes you beautiful. It is God in your life. It's not ritual. It is relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that makes a child of God beautiful. So God's the star of the story. He's the main character. He's the celebrity of Jeremiah chapter 18. And it shows us that he's the one who was forming us and making us function the way he would have us to be. So I want you to see three things tonight in this little parable that we're going to study. And basically, we're going to look at how God deals with us when we have sin in our life, how God deals with us as individuals. And there's three things that we can basically say from that experience. Number one, we can say God is always working on me. I can say tonight that God is always working on me. I was thinking about this today, the Hemp Hills. Joel Hemp Hill had a song many years ago. And how many of you remember the Hemp Hills? You remember the Southern Gospel group, the Hemp Hills? They were one of my favorites. And Joel Hemp Hill wrote a little song that I used to sing when I was in Sunday school. And the song was, He's Still Working on Me. And I pinned these words down here in my notes to remind me of it tonight. But Joel's words were, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How patient and loving he must be. He's still working on me. Can I tell you, God's still working on me tonight. I am approaching 42 years of age and I am falling apart. Lost my hair, now my bones are going brittle. I'm here 42 years of age, but I can tell you this, God's still working on me. It doesn't matter how many doctor's degrees you have, doesn't matter how long you've been in church, doesn't matter how long you've been working in ministry, God's still working on every single individual. See, I personally believe that a pastor, a deacon, a teacher, and even a church, you need to continue to grow in your relationship with God. Nobody ever learns at all. Nobody ever arrives. We never get to a point where we're at the pinnacle of success. Nobody knows at all. There's not a person in this room with an S on their chest with a red cape that stands for spiritual Superman. We are all fallen creatures. We are saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're one of His and we have confessed our sin, we're one of His, and we're all trying to do life. And so I want you to understand right away, me, you, and everybody in the room, we can say tonight that God is working on us. And I can continue to say that no matter what happens in my life or what goes on in my life, that God is still working on me. Well, that's evidenced by verses 1 to verse number 3 in our text. The Bible says, the word of the Lord, excuse me, which came to Jeremiah, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, Jeremiah says, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Now, although this is a real story, God's going to use it as a story to illustrate that spiritual truth that God wants to be close to you. And it's very obvious from the reading of the story that God represents the potter. That's made plain by verse number 6, where the Bible says, O house of Israel, cannot I do you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine, O house of Israel. So we know right away from verse 6, God is the potter in the story. And incidentally, if you were to study the minor prophets, you'd find out that Isaiah says the same thing that Jeremiah has to say in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our father, we are the clay, thou art the potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. Can I tell you tonight, God is the potter of our lives. And just like the clay is in the hand of the potter, my life is in the hands of God. Just like that clay is in the hands of that potter, your life tonight is in the hands of God. You see, my ministry here is not in the hands of this church. My ministry is not in the hands of the deacons. My ministry is not in the hands of the congregation. My ministry is in the hands of Almighty God. And when I'm in the hands of God, I'm kept by the power of God. God will move me here, and God will move me here, or God will take me away, and God will place me where He wants me to be. Your life is the same way. God says, your life is in my hands. He's the invisible hands of the divine potter, is working in my life and in your life. He's molding me, and he's shaping me, and he's forming me, and he's making me in this church and your family into a beautiful vessel fit for the master's use. Boy, that ought to make you happy tonight, amen? Knowing that no matter what's happened in your life, every circumstance, every situation, every good or bad relationship that's come into your life, God's using that, and he's molding you and he's shaping you where you become better and not bitter. Can someone say amen? Just as the potter controls the clay, God should control you. God should control every single facet of our life. He is the potter, we are the clay, and we are meant for his purposes. Psalms 138 and verse number 8. The Bible says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Now that's a great verse. First time I read that was this week. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Basically, what the psalmist is saying is the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Can I tell you tonight that God's got a purpose for your life? Now, I know a lot of people, they want to gripe and complain when preachers say God has a plan for your life. Understand what I mean, okay? God does have a plan for your life. He does have a purpose for this church. And God, in his word, is telling us he's the one that's going to help us to fulfill that purpose. He's going to mold me and shape me and give me everything that I need in order to fulfill that purpose. Listen to the verse again. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the works of thy own hand. So God's hand is in your life. God's hand's in your marriage and in your ministry. And the Lord's going to fulfill that purpose. Now I want you to think about this a moment. Do you know what is true about clay? One thing that's essential and that's true about clay. It's only useful in the hands of the potter. That's the one essential thing about clay. The clay can just sit there on the shelf. It could sit here on my podium tonight. And the clay essentially is of no use at all until the clay goes into the hands of the potter. Can I tell you tonight? We need to be in the hands of God. I want my ministry in God's hands. I want this church in God's hands. Because if it's in God's hands, then God's going to take it to where He wants it to be. God's going to shape it the way He wants to shape it. And what's happening today, we're living in this pop culture in a postmodern world where, you know, everybody's trying to do everything under the sun. They got, you know, 40 purposes of this, 30 purposes of that, 20 purposes of that. Everybody's got the recipe, but nobody's cooking up the soup. I'm here to tell you, we don't need the latest and greatest book that's out there on the bookshelf to tell us how to do evangelism and ministry. We need the Bible preached back in our churches today. We need the Word of God. We need the Spirit of God. We need to place this church in the hands of God, and God will fulfill His purpose for our church. That's good preaching, Brother David. Can you say amen, huh? That's where we're at. And I'm not trying to slap some of these guys in the face. I'm just telling you how it is. We need to get back to the Word of God. We need to get back to old-fashioned, timely, expository, authoritative preaching from the Word of God if God's going to help our church and help us to be what it needs to be. You think about it. That clay only serves a purpose when it's in the hands of the potter. Listen to what Zechariah said. Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Paul knew that very purpose there. Paul knew that principle. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, listen, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You say, Brother David, what are you saying? I'm saying this. In and of ourselves, we will do nothing for God. But when my life and my ministry and my marriage is in the hands of Almighty God, God will mold it, He will fashion it, He will form it, He will fit it exactly how He wants to do it, and then I, in turn, will give Him honor and glory and praise as I fulfill the purposes of God in my life. Benjamin Franklin one time was addressing the Constitutional Convention on June 28th in 1786, and it's a great quote, and this is what he said. He said, I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs the affairs of men. And I have to say amen. God is sovereign in the lives of men and women. Nothing has ever taken God by surprise. God doesn't have a plan B. He only operates on plan A. He is sovereign. He never has an afterthought. He never stands in heaven rubbing his thumbs together wondering what's going to happen next. He is an omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing God. And Benjamin Franklin is right. God governs in the affairs of men. So ladies and gentlemen, tonight, know this. He's the potter. You're the clay. He's still working on me. Can you say amen? Not only can I say tonight that God is always working on me, but second of all, I can say that God is always wanting what is best for me. God is not only working on me, but God is always wanting what's best for me, for this church, your ministry, my ministry, your marriage, my marriage, and the memberships of this church. The Bible says in verse number 4, look, notice what it says. It says, in the vessels that he made of clay, listen, it was marred in the hand of the potter. The Bible says that clay was marred in the hand of the potter that fashioned it. Oftentimes, the potter, he's going to have some problems. He begins working on that clay, and he's spinning it around on that wheel, and all of a sudden, he realizes that the clay is marred. Something's happened to that pot. It's got an imperfection in it. Maybe it's off-colored on one side, and there's some sort of imperfection. Maybe there's a stone, or there's a fragment of something else that has jumped up in the clay, and it's caused a crack, or maybe a crevice that would weaken the clay. And so the potter's there, and his job now, he's got to remove it before he can complete it. And can I tell you tonight that God looks at my life and God looks at your life. Sometimes as he is working in and through my life, as his sovereign hands are working in my ministry, in my marriage, in my life, sometimes God finds an imperfection. God finds something there where I have crossed over to the dark side and I'm entertaining the darkness and there's sin in my life. Now there's an imperfection. There's an off-coloredness in my life. There's something there that's weakening me as an individual. It's some type of crevice or crack like there is in the clay. God's got to remove it so God can complete the task that he started out with me. And I'm here to tell you tonight, friend, that God's not going to allow you to get away with sin. Be sure your sins will find you out. The Bible says they won't be found out. It says they will find you out. That is, that sin working in your life, it's going to come out physically. It's going to come out spiritually. It's going to be found. It's going to work its way out. God sees the sin in our life. God sees the misery of our soul. And God says, before I can complete the task as the potter to the clay, I've got to remove that element that's hindering this vessel from being all that it needs to be. And I can tell you tonight that one little impurity in our life can cause us to be a weak vessel. And some of you here tonight, you've allowed some type of sin to creep up in your life. Maybe it's pornography use. Maybe it's booze. The Baptist and his booze. How many Baptists that I know of today living right here in our area trying to condone sipping on liquor? Can I tell you tonight? It is absolutely 110% wrong. You say, well, it's just social drinking. Well, you go on out there and you ruin your testimony and give Jesus a black eye and see what he says at the judgment seat of Christ. Baptists and their booze, or maybe, you know, a little, entertainment here or there, and all of a sudden, these sins of the world start creeping into our life, and we get ourselves in a situation where we're becoming weak. We're not strong. There's an impurity there. There's an imperfection there. God says, I've got to remove it before I can complete you. God has a task. God has a plan. He's got a purpose for our life. I want you to understand this tonight. Now, you need to listen to this well. The darkness of sin mars the clay. The darkness of sin not only mars it, the darkness of sin can scar the clay. There's some folks maybe sitting here tonight, or maybe who's listening by a CD or a tape. Maybe some type of sin has crept into your life, and it has marred your life. It's scarred your life. Maybe you've got a past, and everybody knows about it. Maybe you did something wrong so many years ago, and that scar of sin just lingers around, and you think about it all the time. Well, I want you to know, friend, the potter's house is on New Hope Road, and you can find hope and help and healing when you go to the potter's house. Can you say amen? You say, Brother David, how can my life be a clean life, a vessel ready for God's anointing? Let me give you three things real quickly. I want you to write them down. There's three things that have to be true if I'm going to be the vessel that God's going to use. Number one, I would just say available. Available. You see, friend, it's not God's ability to still bless the church today. It's our availability. And I want you to let that soak in for a moment. It's not God's ability. Somebody says, well, is God old and gray, you know, setting up on a rocking chair in a celestial heaven, you know, looking down at his creation after all these years. He just says he doesn't have any more power anymore. He's just fizzling out. No, friend, the Bible teaches our God is eternal. Amen. Our God is omnipotent. God sits in the celestial heaven that is up there. He looks down on his creation, and all the earth is just his footstool. And it's not God's ability. It's our availability. That is, you got to make your life available for God to use it. That is, sign up for something. Do something. It just cracks me up. People come into church and they say, well, I'm just looking for something to do. All right. Would you go volunteer in the nursery? No, don't want to do that. Uh-uh, that's not for me. Well, how about go work in Awanas on a Wednesday night and help somebody out there? No, I don't want to do children's ministry. Well, how about going visitation with us during the week and knock on a door and pass out a tract? No, I got my feet ain't good. I can't walk that well no more. Well, how about come and sing in the choir? Nope, I got a sore throat today. Can't do that. But I'm looking for something to do for Jesus, Brother David, huh? That's the way. Whatever happened to the word sacrifice? Amen? Whatever happened to the word sacrifice? That we're doing something for the Lord. I'm here to tell you today, there's something that we can do for God, and that is make ourselves available to Him. Whether it's going on a missions trip, giving a hot dog to a homeless man, going down to the nursing home, singing in the choir, helping our children, no matter what it is, there's always something to do for God. It's not God's ability to bless us. It is our availability unto God, where God can open up the doors and windows of heaven and pour it down on us. Can you say amen? You need to be available. Number two, you need to be empty. You need to be empty. If God's going to bless you, you can't be full of yourself. You've got to be empty. If God's going to fill you up, you've got to get rid of yourself. The reason why some people can't see Jesus in some people's lives is they're just so big and fat of themselves. You know, it's all about them. You know, all they think about is them. They got to have the stage. They got to have the limelight. They got to do this. And they're so full of themselves that nobody even sees Jesus living in their lives. You've got to empty yourself if God's going to fill you. Men, I'm telling you tonight, you've got to empty yourself. If we're going to be the men that God's called us to be here in Catoosa County, you've got to lay it on the altar. You've got to pour yourself out to God and let God fill you with His Spirit. Can you say amen? Ladies, you got to do the same. Our families, we got to pour ourselves out. We've got to become empty. Thirdly, you got to be clean. If you're going to be a vessel that God wants to use, you've got to be available. You've got to be empty, and you've got to be clean. If you're going to be a vessel that God's going to use, you can't have a dirty life. You've got to be clean. You've got to make sure that the Lord is taking care of you, friend. That you are taking care of business. You're asking God to help you. You're asking God to forgive you. You're asking God to deliver you from your habits and all this and that. And say, God, I want to be a clean vessel ready for your anointing. I want to be clean. I want to be one that knows that God always is wanting His very best for me. I know that God wants to bless me. God wants to help me, and I'm going to be willing to let go of some things in my life. Reminds me of a story of a little boy who got his hand stuck in a vase, and it was a very expensive vase. His mom come running in there, and they couldn't get his hand out of the vase. And the mom didn't want to break the vase. The vase was very expensive, but she had no other choice. She had to go get a hammer, and she broke the vase to get the vase off her little boy's arm. Well, when she broke the vase, she found out the reason why she couldn't get it off. The little boy had his fist doubled up on the inside of it. And what he had on the inside of his hand was a penny. You see, the whole time, he's caught in a trap, but he's not willing to let go of something. And I'm here to tell you today, some of you are caught in a trap, and you're not willing to let go. You've got to let go of some things in order to get out of the trap. But I'll tell you this, if you're saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, you know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, what you're holding on to, friend, God's going to shatter. God's going to bring judgment down. Let it go. Release it. Let God rescue you tonight. Can you say amen? And God will help you all the way, because God wants His very best for you. God's not trying to keep anything from anybody in this room. So know this, I can say tonight, as I find the potter living on New Hope Road, I can say God is always working on me. I can say tonight that God is always wanting what is best for me. And let me give you one more and we'll go. God is always willing to start over with me. Not only is God wanting the very best for Dave and for everybody else here, I want you to know this about God. God is always willing to start all over. Your life tonight might be a mess. You as the clay, you've got so many imperfections. There's a discolorment there. There's a crack or there's a crevice that's making the vessel of your life weak. I want you to know this, friend. God's always willing to start over. Look at verse 4. It illustrates that. Listen to this verse. It says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred, had an imperfection in the hand of the potter. Watch this. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Boy, verse number 4 has the greatest message in the whole entire story. Now here's old Jeremiah. He goes down there and he's watching this potter. He's spinning that wheel. The wheel speaks of life. We're the clay that's on that wheel. We're going in all sorts of, you know, different directions. And here that wheel spinning around, and that potter's got his hands. He's moving in and out of it. And all of a sudden, he sees there's some type of imperfection. And old Jeremiah, he's watching the whole time. Well, the potter doesn't take that piece of clay and just pick it up and throw it over to the side and go find another one. No, he begins the whole process all over again. He finds whatever is impure, whatever imperfection, and he begins taking his strong hands, spinning the wheel. He's putting pressure. He's pushing here. He's pulling there. He's squeezing it there. He's moving it in this direction and that direction. One of the most powerful words is found in the entire chapter in verse 18 is this. Listen to it again. So he made it again. He made it again. You see, God takes the imperfection in my life where I mess up, where I do wrong, and where I'm not a vessel fit and ready for his anointing. God puts his sovereign hands back in the life of David. He pulls out the sin. He removes the imperfection, and he starts all over again. Starts all over again. And some of you folks are here, and maybe you've been divorced, and you feel like, I've been divorced, so I can't do anything for God. Who told you that? God takes the imperfection, God removes them, and God starts all over again. He makes the clay again. Some of you are here and you have some type of past that you're just fearful everybody's going to find out about it. There's something that just haunts you. Can I tell you? Listen, God doesn't throw the clay away. He takes it and he makes it again. So he made it again. You say, Brother David, why did he make it again? Verse 4 tells us. The Bible says, he made it again, another vessel. Watch, as seemed good to the potter to make it. God said, I got a plan. I've got some purpose for this clay. And it's because of my good pleasure, I'm going to work that life all over again. You say, Brother David, what's the main thrust of the sermon? The main thrust is this. There is hope at the potter's house because he lives on New Hope Road. And if you will come to him broken with all the sin and all the imperfections, you don't come and tell me, you come and tell him. Say, God, here's where I'm at. God, all this darkness around me has crept up in my life over the years. I've tried to push it back, but I am just swimming in it. I'm consumed with it. It's all around me. It's hindering my marriage. It's hindering my family. It's hindering my production on the job. I can't socialize with people no more. I can't look at my fellow brothers in the eye no more. I don't feel no power. I feel no purpose, God. It's all around me. You say, Brother David, is there hope and help for me? Absolutely, yes. God will take what is broken and God will take what is marred. He doesn't throw it away. He doesn't throw it up there on a shelf. He takes those strong, sovereign hands. He begins moving them strong shoulders back into my life. I'm letting the wheel turn, the circumstances of my life rotate this way and that way. He begins molding me and shaping me, and all of a sudden, what was marred and imperfected and discolored, all of a sudden begins to take shape into a beautiful vase that the master is going to use to fill for his purpose. That's the destiny of every person here tonight, but you have to submit to him. You've got to submit to him. The clay is of no use unless it's in the potter's hand. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We thank you, God, for the hope and the help and the healing that we can find through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, and perhaps there's somebody here tonight, God, just broken, Lord. Maybe it's a broken relationship, Lord. Maybe, Lord, someone's hurt them along the way. God, something's happened in their life, and maybe they've said things they didn't need to say. Perhaps there's somebody here tonight with an addiction, Lord, or there's somebody here tonight that, Lord, they're just not close to you. They're letting the culture of this world just pull them away from you. I pray tonight that you would help us all to see that the clay is of no use unless it's in the potter's hand. So, Father, tonight I lay my ministry, my marriage. Lord, my membership here at this church, I lay it down and I ask you, God, to retrieve it. Pick it up, God, and use it for your honor, for your glory. Help me, Lord, to empty myself, Lord, of all the pride that I may have, that you may fill it, Lord, for your purposes. Father, that's my prayer tonight. God, you know my heart. So I pray for our church that you would help us, lead us, and guide us, and direct us to do what you've called us to do. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Meet me here at the